Hello and welcome to the eHotelier podcast, bringing you insights from hotel industry leaders around the world.
I'm your host, Matthew Stevens, and today we'll be focusing on the first two quarters of 2021 with my guests, Larry and Adam Mogolonski. Larry and Adam are the world's most published writers in hospitality. Their experience encompasses hotel properties around the world, both branded and independent, and ranging from luxury and boutique to select service. Larry and Adam, thanks for joining me today.
Matthew, always a pleasure to see you.
Pleasure. As COVID lives on, the pressures on hoteliers to maximize their property's performance today is increasing. It appears despite isolated areas of initial recovery and some talk of travel bubbles, the focus for hoteliers is on what can be done today. As we head into 2021, where do you feel hoteliers should be focusing in the first two quarters, particularly as the Northern Hemisphere approaches another summer season? Larry?
Well, it's going to be a tough first quarter, and not as tough in the second quarter. It's still going to be bad. What I'm advising hoteliers is to conserve cash between now and Easter. That is going to be the period of the most difficult crunch. There are exceptions, of course. If you happen to have a resort located remotely on a beautiful beach, I think you can push that aside. But by and large, until the point in time that the vaccine is moving, let's say, to about 20 or 25% of the population, I think things are going to be pretty rough for hotels. I see after Easter and moving in the United States to what they call Memorial Day weekend, late May, I see improvement. And I see continual improvement throughout the year, almost to the point in time where we as hoteliers are going to be thinking oppositely. When it gets to Q4, we're going to say, we don't have enough labor. We don't have enough flights. We don't have enough food suppliers. We don't have all the items which we took for granted in 2019 because our supply networks have been so dearly impacted.
Supply being employees, as you mentioned, too. So there's been furloughs and layoffs.
It's actually worse than that because lost years of experience.
Sure.
So any hotel that we look at, the first cuts were rather easy. We said to individuals who were, shall we say, part-time, recent employees, stay at home. Then we moved further up into the chain and we started to trim mid-level managers and perhaps even amalgamate some departments. What we're losing every time we do that is years of experience, people who understood the positioning of our products, people who understood the nuances of running the hotel, how you have to basically, okay, kick that coffee maker twice and twist it and then it'll work, versus calling in a repairman every time, using that as a facetious example. But a hotel has always been about people. And I really don't care whether you're a select service property or whether you're the most expensive Four Seasons or Peninsula or something of that vein. It's all about people. And whenever you have a retraction or contraction such as we felt now, probably the worst since the 2008-2009 financial disaster, it doesn't turn back on instantly. And that is going to be our biggest challenge.
I would add to that the period of the first two quarters, if you know that you're expecting it to be light on occupancy, is to really take this time to rethink where your property could go once the vaccine is widely disseminated and things start to come back to normal. There are lots of opportunities to differentiate your property, add new amenities in room or on property, and really find that niche, particularly if there's any sort of sign right now heading into the new year. It's the Airbnb IPO, which signals the direction of our industry long after COVID is done, in that people really want features. They want unique places to stay. They don't want cookie cutter hotels. And of course, yeah, there will always be need for the big box cookie cutter hotels for business guests that are, you know, one night staying over and just in and out. But people really want unique accommodations. And that is something coming out of COVID that we really need to spend the time now to figure out and install the programs that so that way we can hit the ground running once the guests do start coming back.
Matthew, let me add something. Let's call 2020 the Great Reset. And it's an opportunity for hotels to sit back and look and think about going forward. In 2019, Airbnb was going after us aggressively. They've slowed down a little bit, but they're going to ramp up. And what I'm particularly concerned about is hotels that the first thing you go and look at their website, they tell you how clean they are. And, oh, we have all these cleanliness protocols. Well, I don't go to a hotel for cleanliness. I go for experience. And the more you tell me about cleanliness, the more I say, maybe I'll find another place where I can actually do something versus stay clean. And I have stayed in hotels during COVID, and it was not pleasant. It was awful. My amenities were in a plastic bag attached to my door. When I got into my room, they didn't clean the room or do anything while I was in there, and everything was stripped to the bare minimum. There was nothing on the counters. There was nothing in the cupboard. It was awful. And if that is going to be the experience come post-COVID, we've got a real problem. And I always worry about hoteliers who are exceptionally brilliant at reducing cost. And they will find ways, say, well, they didn't live without housekeeping before. Why should I bring housekeeping back? And this is going to be the death of us. If we're not careful, we're going to be basically a glorified Airbnb in a hotel setting.
So we're at risk of commoditizing the hotel room by the sounds of it, removing the experience from it and just creating a box.
Correct. Any hotelier who thinks they're in the accommodation business is doomed. We're in the experience business, and the second you realize that, you're going to be a successful hotelier. And that applies whether you're a select service or a seven-star in Dubai. It's all about the experience.
So as markets recover, do you see – sorry, Adam.
Yeah, no, I would just add to that that, you know, the conversation around product messaging and marketing during COVID has been all about cleanliness and reassuring guests. But as we shift out of it, cleanliness and hyper cleanliness is just an expectation. It's, I mean, it's to draw a similar example, it's not like hotels, you know, their top line advertising that they post is, we, our rooms have air conditioning. You know, that might have worked in the 1930s, but now it's just, yes, it's a feature of a room and you see it listed off in a check mark feature box below, but you're not, that's not your top line. That's not your sales line. Your sales line is always something experiential. You know, it's always, you know, we have the best restaurant, you know, come dine with us. You'll experience foods you've never experienced anywhere else. You know, come experience sunset on a beach, in a secluded beach with us. It's always something experiential. Cleanliness is an important issue, and it will be an important issue for a very long time, but it's not the selling line. It's no longer the selling line, if that makes sense.
So as we come out of, the industry comes into recovery, different market segments are going to come back at different rates. How do you see that playing out in the first quarter? Which will be the first market segments to come back? What should hoteliers be looking for?
Well, we look at it, the classical structure is leisure, business, and say convention, or business being individual business traveler. First and foremost is going to be leisure. Business travel has, let's address the leisure guest. If in the North American context and European context, you take a protractor, you put the point in your hotel, and you draw a circle based on a half day's drive to your property. And that is your target audience for Q1. No one beyond that. People are still resistive and concerned about aircrafts, even though the HEPA filters on airplanes are perhaps better than you'd experience in any residence in the world. But nevertheless, it's a drive market in Q1 and Q2, and perhaps stretching somewhat into Q3 as well. Once we get beyond that, you can widen the circle to include maybe longer trips and maybe some short flight air. I'm particularly sensitive to the air component because it's critical for for hotels to thrive in the future. We can't rely only on a domestic or local marketplace, but that's the first step. The next step is going to be business travel, and it's going to be the individual business traveler. And I liken it to the salesman who has seen his or her clients for the past year on Zoom or Teams or Meet. And you and I both know that that is a very flimsy and limited way to build a business relationship. We have to and we crave a social interaction that requires meeting face-to-face. It is very hard to sell somebody over a podcast or over a Zoom video. It just doesn't work that way because people crave meeting and relating to people. There are so many nuances and interpersonal relationship skills that come from meeting the person. You can sense whether they accept or reject or encourage, and they'll be the salespeople will be the next group out, and the third group will be small meetings on a local basis. Again, the salespeople being the scouts of the industry, the ones who have the, shall we say, commission structure in their income, will take the greatest risk because they have the greatest return. Those individuals who are salaried will say, "Oh, why should I take a risk? I'm going to be paid my X thousand dollars a month, regardless of whether I take a trip or not, so I might as well stay in my cave." This will continue to expand throughout the year. There are things that we can do. There's indicators that hoteliers can look at which will give them the future. One is to go to a site called AirDNA.com, and AirDNA gives you the data of Airbnb bookings. It's free. You can analyze the data and see what's happening. I think Airbnb will move faster than hotels will. And that'll be a precursor of knowing where your business is going to be heading. I'm less optimistic on Rate 360 or Smith Travel Research providing you those clues of the future. They generally tend to be better in looking backward rather than looking up forward. I would also say one thing, and Adam may add more to this. As we go through the first two quarters, what you want to do is look at not just your RevPAR, but what Adam and I are calling our total RevPAR. In other words, TrevPAR, which is... I really am not interested in whether I captured that room night. I'm interested in capturing as much income as I can from the guest in every single aspect of their stay. The guest who comes in only spends a night with me and eats all their meals out or orders pizzas in is less important than the guest who spends money in my restaurant and perhaps money in additional facilities that I might have. So it's a matter of looking at your revenues, maximizing total revenue. Stop worrying about RevPAR. It's not going to help you in terms of paying your invoices. So those are some of the aspects. Adam, do you want to add to this?
Yeah, I think that small groups are going to make a big comeback, either leisure groups, you know, families, friends, reunions of those nature, as well as small corporate groups. I do think that the large conventions are going to take a long time to come back because of the outlasting fear, and we will move to what's called a hub and spoke model, where as enabled by video conferencing, you'll have regional hubs will get together, and then they will all be connected via video conferencing technology. So with that in mind is, again, it comes back to setting your property up for success. And the reason why Larry mentioned Airbnb as being the canary in the coal mine for hotels is that, by and large, Airbnb inventory is perceived as more secluded and private versus hotels. So Airbnb has a lot more freestanding houses, villas, etc., which is why you might see more greater search traffic to the website versus others. And it also explains why resorts, or specifically multi-campus resorts that have a lot of secluded cabins and places where you would interact with other guests and with staff would occur outdoors. Mm. Those places will recover first. But along those lines, is you can set up your property. You can set up any property for small groups during low occupancy or fearful times, let's say, whereby an urban hotel could do a full floor lockout for a small group. And as enabled with end-to-end contactless technology, they would only encounter an operative pod of, let's say, the same four hotel staff during the entirety of their stay, and everything else would be contactless. So it is possible for any hotel to do that. You set up a program now, and then you hit the ground running with some marketing and developing local partnerships to see what you can do, and you can make a worthwhile program out of that, and a worthwhile program that has legs for the next decade or so, because as I predict, at least the small groups and hub and spoke model will be around for quite some time.
So in summary, would it be fair to say the focus right now is maintaining cash flow, protecting cash flow, looking to experiential travel, looking to the Air DNA to look at which markets are coming back first in your regions, focusing on the experience for leisure, for groups, or for those traveling salespeople when business comes back, and then looking at the group market coming up to Easter.
If you remember the Apple podcast, there was always one more thing that Steven Jobs always said, and that more thing is called technology. And this is the optimal time for hoteliers to embrace improving their tech stack and going through their technology acquisitions, especially if they're SaaS models, where you can generally say to the vendor, look, guys, I don't have any business right now. I don't expect my business to come back until April, May, June, whenever. Mm. But I want to embrace the technology now. I want to learn how the technology operates. I want to do the installation when I've got 10, 15, 20% occupancy versus when I have 90% occupancy and huge risk. And I want to sign the deal now. And there are many SaaS vendors who recognize this and will give you a few months for free. And since it's SaaS, and you don't have to worry about any payments for perhaps Q1 and maybe even part of Q2, embrace the time and get your tech stack going. Importantly, you can look at technology in back of house as well as front of house. And now when you have a small cluster of people in the back of house, say in housekeeping, you can train them. They'll be more receptive to that, and you may not have to bring back as many people as you thought, because the technology will enhance your ops.
Building on Larry's point is what we're experiencing now with COVID, it's not anything new. The transition to the hotel of the future would have happened anyway, but instead of it happening over a decade, it happened over 10 years, it happened over 10 months. So all the stuff we're talking about, experiential hotels, contactless hotels to expedite service delivery and help automate some of the basic processes of experiences, all that would have happened anyway. Just now we have to do it with the proverbial gun to our heads instead of a wait and see approach that has worked for us in the past, because we've been lucky enough to have such decadent levels of travel for the past decade or so.
And in an industry where we started off, Larry, saying that people are the core, retaining the best people is probably a priority right now, ensuring that they're valued into the future so that we don't have a mass recruitment drive happening in 6 to 9 months' time.
We will have a massive recruitment drive no matter what we do. And I'm also recommending to hotels that they keep their Rolodexes, an old term, but you know what I mean, handy on part-time people and individuals. And I don't want to get into government subsidies and a whole bunch of issues that that creates. Let's hope that we can wean ourselves off the golden spoon, so to speak. But ultimately, what we're going to have, I think, coming into, say, 2023 is, or even late 2022, is a much stronger hotel industry with a better product, a focused product, more varieties and options for the guests to consider. Obviously, perfect cleanliness in everything that we do. Masks may not go away for a while. We may have face shields and masks, but I think we'll get out of having plastic knives and forks at the dinner table. Let's hope, at least. And ultimately, as was said to me by a an investor, it's not that the hotel industry is overbuilt; it's that it's under demolished. And this is the opportunity to take many of those old hotels that really aren't that great and push them out of the marketplace. Let's hope that happens so new and better product can come in.
Fantastic. Thank you both very much for joining me today and for providing some valuable insights into the opportunities and priorities for hoteliers through the first two quarters of next year and into the future. It's been a pleasure meeting with you today.
Thanks.
To build your own career or boost your team's performance from basic skills to executive training, visit academy.ehotelier.com. Get 20% off all courses and certifications using the code PODCAST. Thank you for joining us. Check out the latest episodes at ehotelier.com and make sure to subscribe for the latest insights from industry leaders around the world.